for coming this evening. We're very happy to present to you topics which are extremely important for your well-being. The mind is the source of our happiness and distress. This is explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, the standard spiritual text of India. There, Lord Krishna explains that for one who has conquered the mind is the best friend. But for one who has failed to conquer the mind, it's the worst enemy. We are now living in a social situation which causes our mind to be extraordinarily disturbed. How to focus the mind in the atmosphere of today? This is the question. There is so much stress, so much situations of anxiety. In many ways, adults now are just like children because they cannot control the mind. You see, we should not mistake social conditioning and social conformity for having a controlled mind. So this is what's happening when you are dealing with your studies, your future. So many of you, I know, are wondering, how can I concentrate? How can I be able to push ahead when my mind is just going in so many directions? But that mind going in so many directions is the product of the environment. So, if we're going to be successful, we have to learn the nature of the environment we're living in and what to do about it. Never before have human beings been under so much pressure. Just like you overseas students, you have pressures here. You have pressures back in India. So much is resting on your shoulders. You must achieve. You must succeed. Meanwhile, you hear so much talk about it's time for living a sustainable lifestyle. The consumerist society is finished. And you're wondering, wait a minute, not yet. We have to have our chance too. So, the pressure is on you to push ahead. The pressure is on you to achieve. Yet there's so much doubt being raised. Are the goals of a materialistic mind beneficial? But what is the alternative? The alternative is given in the spiritual text associated with India, but good for the whole world. Just like the sun rises in the east, but the sun has benefit for the whole world. No one calls it an Eastern sun or an Indian sun. The sun is for everyone. Similarly, the knowledge that Lord Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita is of scientific benefit to all living entities. To deal with the mind, we have to understand the components of our identity. Unfortunately, this kind of knowledge is not given straightforwardly at any mainstream university. The announcer presented how I attended Yale University, and there you'll pay $48,000 a year to attend. Most of the U.S. presidents went there. But there's no course on how to deal with yourself. The assumption is simply that if you make a lot of money, you'll be happy. If you have high social status, then your life is successful. There is no research that shows this is true. In fact, there is so much research in the past 10 years which shows this is not true. This puts you all in a very difficult situation. Because you're here to study, to get ahead, to achieve material success. But now there is so much research saying that material success, not only it won't make you happy, but it also will make you very miserable. What to do? Please do not think that all is lost for you. You have an extraordinary advantage. You have ready access to the world's most comprehensive, precise system of spiritual knowledge. It is amazing how often we have to leave home and go somewhere else to discover the great gems right under our own nose. And I hope that will be the case for so many of you. Let's look at the... Yes, if we could turn off those mobile phones. Thank you. Let's look at the factors which are affecting your mind. And let's not just think in a limited way. Let's think in a big way and see the broad picture. How my mind is affected by what's around me. Especially because I don't know my own mind. I don't know who I am. How many of you, when you enrolled in La Trobe University, they asked you the question on the entrance application, please tell us, what is your identity? Who are you? There was no such question. Other than, are you male? Are you female? Where were you born? How old are you? No question as to the nature of the self. So this shows you what the problem is. An unknown entity is going to try to be happy. An entity that does not know himself, herself, is going to try to be happy. It's not possible. Recently, I was speaking at universities in New Zealand, and there is a new system of accounting. Accounting is not meant simply for gauging the profit loss of a company. Accounting is meant to take into the picture, or to consider the picture, of all the aspects of life, natural resources, the environment, mental peace, mental clarity, health and well-being. The accountant should actually deal with all these things. Please think about that. In other words, some people are starting to realize we've missed the point. How can we account for all the factors in existence so that we can determine what is a truly beneficial life? Once again, there's so much pressure upon you, I know. You have expectations back home. Your families are considering, we sent you to Australia to study. You're supposed to become a huge success, bring money back home, bring fame back home. Can you sustain those kind of expectations? Will you be happy in that way? Let's look at the lifestyle that you're going to have to deal with, and which will cause so many mental problems. We'll look at a health and welfare survey taken in the UK by the government. And here you'll get a clear picture of the effects of the 24/7 society. You're on call around the clock, 7 days a week, with your computers, your IT, your Blackberries, your mobile phones. You have to be wired in all the time. What kind of mind has that produced? In this survey, people were asked, what have you worried about in the last 3 months? 48% of the people listed, number one, lack of exercise. 42% listed, lack of sleep. 34% listed, fatigue. 29%, perhaps a little amusing, listed the lack of availability of government dentists, you know, for the national health care program. 27% listed stress. 15% listed passive smoking. And 12% listed drinking. What this list shows is that people are most concerned about their lifestyle. In other words, they haven't gotten the good life. They may have enough to eat. We won't talk about whether what they eat is healthy, but they have enough to eat, they have a roof over their head, but their lifestyle is a source of such mental stress. And that stress worsens and becomes anxiety disorders. And the anxiety disorders worsen and become mental depression, which is the fastest growing disease in terms of disease burden. Many of you are accountants, so this phenomenon as disease burden means the impact, the measurable impact of a particular disease on society. So in terms of disease burden, mental depression is the fastest growing disease. And it's all happening in the most developed countries, the most wealthy countries, like Australia, UK, USA. What's going on? Somehow or other, people are missing the point. What's worrying them the most is my own life. It's so filled with anxiety. It's under such pressure. In another survey done in the UK, people were asked, should you try to find meaning at work? And the conclusion, the main conclusion was, the best thing to do in order to survive is don't try to find meaning at work, just work. Now, many of you may say, well, it's obvious work is for money. That's all. If you get the money, then be satisfied. And also, you want a sense of achievement. You want to feel that your skills are producing an efficient result. These kind of expectations are not enough to protect your mind. So many of you are going to find that without intoxication, it is impossible to live the material lifestyle. This is something the Australians already know. Next, it'll be yours to discover that without constant intoxication, because you may wonder, why is it? In these Western societies, people are drowning in all types of intoxication, not simply alcohol, drugs. Why? You may be thinking, oh, you would never do such a thing. Maybe a little bit on the weekend. But in no way will we take to the intoxication like the Australians. Materially, it's impossible to hold up under such stress without constant intoxication. We should not think, oh, we are special. We will live a material life and avoid all the ills of material life. It's not going to work like that. Let's hear some more scientific research, and we'll also discuss what Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that it is mental concoctions that destroy our mental peace. The mind concocts, I need this, I need that. This will make me happy, that will make me happy. And because of these mental concoctions, you get no peacefulness. In order for us to be truly happy, there has to be a method to shut down that factory of mental concoction. Indeed, the very idea that we are this body is a mental concoction. So, we may be in physically comfortable circumstances, but because the mind is so on edge, we can't be peaceful. We can absorb ourselves at the workplace, but as the years go by, we will notice our minds are just becoming shattered. And what to speak of what your children will be like? They'll have it worse. We have to consider a different kind of lifestyle. The spiritual knowledge of Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita, that long lost wealth will actually give us a clear understanding of how to have the most successful life with the most powerful mind, the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind understands the living entity. You are not the body. You're not the mind also. You see, there is the physical body, which is immediately known by you. But Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that there is a subtle body. Mind, intelligence, and false ego. Just like I have a jumper on, and under the jumper, there's a kurta. So, one is the outer, the other is the inner. You can easily see the gross body. A few people can see the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and false ego. Sometimes they call it the astral body. Both the gross body and the subtle body, consisting of the mind, both are not you. This is the first lesson Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. You are different than your physical and mental bodies. Therefore, how can you be satisfied? How can the real you be satisfied if you're not the body and mind? We're not talking about belief. We are talking about scientific perception and experience. Lord Krishna is inviting you into the bhakti laboratory. Lord Krishna is not asking you for faith and belief. Krishna is asking you for scientific perception. You take that information in Bhagavad Gita and apply it in the laboratory, you'll get the results. It is a different kind of science. And I think that some of you here are ready to rediscover that. Just like in the accounting world, accountants are discovering a different kind of accounting. Why just focus on financial profit and loss as the be-all and end-all of accounting? What about so many other factors of existence? The environment, mental well-being, physical health, social stability. Who is going to account for that? Real accounting begins with understanding our identity as spirit soul. Next, we have to proceed to understand that the spirit soul is part of the supreme soul. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, I'll quote the Sanskrit, Mamayavamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasya stani riyani prakriti stani karshati. Krishna explains, all living entities are my eternal parts. Although they are originally spiritual, they are stuck in this artificial material atmosphere, and they are struggling with their senses and their mind. The Sanskrit says, prakriti stani karshati. They're struggling very severely in an oppressive atmosphere because the mind is trapped in a material atmosphere, you feel such anxiety and insecurity. And achieving wealth will not solve that pain the mind feels, because it's hallucinating. It is imagining that your identity is matter and the goal in life is to achieve material happiness. This is a mental concoction. How to deal with such a powerful concoction, which has been with you not only in this lifetime, but for many lifetimes in so many different bodies. This mental concoction, this false idea, I am matter, and therefore matter will make me happy. The intelligent person has to stand this notion on its head, just turn it upside down. How did this come upon me? When you correct this basic mistake, then you can begin to aim your life in the right direction. And then you can get a hold of your mind, get a grip on your own mind. Once you can deal with this basic understanding, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am a spiritual entity with a spiritual mission. And to understand that mission, I have to understand the complete spiritual reality. I must understand Krishna. Let's take a look at some recent research, because I know that you all are technically minded. You want to hear the facts. You understand the current environmental crisis. You understand the huge costs that human society will incur because of damaging the environment of the earth so severely. Generally, when economists and accountants look at the current situation, they conclude, we must keep our economies growing while we're addressing the climate challenge problem. We must and we can keep the economy growing. All we have to do is use more efficient light bulbs, drive more fuel-efficient cars, insulate our homes better, buy some windmills and solar panels. No doubt these things will all help. Will that be enough to solve the world's problems? If you go to Delhi or Mumbai, what are the facts? Even before the new world's cheapest car hit the roads there, in Delhi, 250 new cars appear on the road every day. In Mumbai, 150 new cars appear on the road every day. Do 250 new roads appear every day in Delhi? Do 150 new roads appear in Mumbai? Something has to give. You don't have to have a degree in accounting to figure that out. So, it doesn't work. Things aren't going to work out in that way. How can we have as our goal more and more material expansion when the environment's not permitting it? Is there another way to live? Is there another way to experience growth? This is the question our minds are hungry to answer. If we don't grow economically, what are we going to do? We're failures. You know yourselves, if your parents, your family overseas, if they feel that you're not growing economically, it'll be an embarrassment for them. If we don't have economic growth, does that mean our life ends? What are we going to do? We have to consider another kind of growth. This is the expertise that Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. Live simply in terms of your material development, but When it comes to your spiritually scientific development, live exorbitantly. Spend mightily in terms of energy on your spiritual development. By focusing on your Krishna consciousness, consciousness of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, and your relation to Krishna, there's room for unlimited expansion. And you'll be satisfied to live materially simply, because anyway, you're not matter. Your main focus of the mind is on spiritual development. Because you are actually spirit soul, by your focusing on spiritual development, you hit the nail right on the head. Sometimes it's considered that spiritual development is for those who aren't materially shrewd. They couldn't make it at the workplace. They couldn't make it in the laboratory. So then they started to chant Hare Krishna. No, it's not like that at all. The scientific knowledge of the spirit soul that Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita is the pinnacle of knowledge. Let's look at another example of the ignorance of materialistic education. You are listening to me talk. You're aware of my talk because you are conscious beings. But where is the science that understands consciousness? How does consciousness develop? Can you open up the brain and find consciousness? No, that's like saying you can open up a watch and you'll find time. Try it. Take apart your watch and find time inside. In the same way, you cannot take apart your brain and find consciousness. There is not one bit of proof whatsoever that consciousness is material, that consciousness is made of matter. In fact, there is not one scientific instrument in the whole world that can directly detect the presence of consciousness. Not one. The only way that you know you are conscious is just your own awareness. I'm conscious. And because I'm conscious, I guess you're conscious too. That's the proof. Not one scientific instrument in the world that can directly detect the presence of consciousness. Honest scientists admit, we don't know what consciousness is and probably will never know. Other scientists will say, maybe in the future, maybe not. And another group of scientists will say, we're sure consciousness is matter. We can't prove it now, but soon we'll prove it. After all is said and done, no one has the slightest idea about the most important part of our existence. The most important part of our life is not our skin and our bones and our fingernails. The most important part of our existence is consciousness. And it is this consciousness that Krishna addresses in Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna is the Supreme Consciousness. Because Krishna is the Supreme Consciousness, hearing from Krishna is the best way to learn about consciousness, our own consciousness. When we look at the world situation, we see that the world's wealthiest societies cannot continue their current lifestyles and patterns of economic growth. Here in Australia, the problems caused by drought are increasing more and more. It's the lucky country, but the lucky country doesn't have rain. Other parts of the world, most parts of the world, have a poverty problem in which people don't have the basic necessities. They can't satisfy their basic human needs. So, real intelligence to make a world of peaceful minds means how can you convince the wealthy societies that they can't go on living the way they're doing? And how can you convince the developing world, the part of the world with so much poverty? How can you convince them? Don't imitate the wealthy societies. The world can't handle it, and you won't be happy in that way. So many of you are going to be employed in Australia. Most of you will not go back to India. You may say that now, but by the time you finish school, you'll be so accustomed to things here, you won't go back. I know from my own experience, talking over so many years with so many students from overseas, you don't go back. 90% of you. After you graduate, you start saying things like, it's just the infrastructure here that is better, that's all. What you're saying is, you don't want to fight through traffic 2 hours getting to work and back in Mumbai or Delhi. You don't want to do that. All right, so for the most part, you're going to be here. But you're here at a time when people are starting to question, what is the use of uncontrolled wealth, uncontrolled growth? There has to be another way to live. Does that mean now you should be sad? Oh, we came too late. We missed the boat. If we had just come to study 10 years ago, things would have been upbeat, unbridled materialism. We could have just focused on materialism and not had any guilt feelings. Why are you blaming us? We should have our chance. Everyone else has had their chance to exhaust the world and drive their minds crazy. We should also have a chance. Why are you telling us to reduce, to cut back, to live sustainably? Tell that to the students 10 years ago, 15 years ago. They had their chance. We want our chance too. No, there's no need for this gloom and despair. There's no need to feel that you've missed out. Actually, you have the great advantage of being able to live adequately, materially, while at the same time redirecting your expansion into the spiritual arena. To maintain your bodies, to eat healthily and live simply, that's not difficult to do here in Australia. But the main part of your life should focus on the spiritual development. That is how you're going to get the mental peace for yourself and for your families. Look at the lifestyles all around you. High consuming. These high consuming Western patterns of economic growth. They're not improving people's well-being. They're not sustainable. But they're actually undesirable. They don't give you the mental peace that you need. A beautiful truth is now appearing. This beautiful truth is explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. But now even the biggest researchers, social researchers in the world, they're also saying this truth. Our happiness doesn't depend on consumption of economic goods and services. Our happiness develops when we have more time for internal growth. Now, most people will consider internal growth to mean more time for socializing with your family, more time for working for your community. Look at what's going on around you. The family is completely destroyed. People don't even know who lives in their community. They're working too hard. So, how is it that you're going to have time for that kind of internal material growth? all the support systems that are necessary for your material internal development are smashed, as people are directed simply to work 24/7. We need another kind of internal development, spiritual internal development. It is completely possible to practice Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, as well as study, as well as have a career. The point is not to live to work, but work to live. Use your working life to support your spiritual development. Then you'll have a stress-free approach to work. But if you work simply for consumption, if you work simply to achieve the material goals that are now world famous for driving people crazy, how will that satisfy you? How will that satisfy your family? I'll give you some more scientific research information. Generally, your material well-being will correlate with how healthy you are, how educated you are, and your marital status. But it has much less to do, your well-being, in terms of measurable well-being, has much less to do with your income. In other words, all you need to do is earn a certain modest, very modest level of income, and that's as much as income can contribute to your happiness. There are other factors which are extraordinarily more important. So why is it that you should judge your success in terms of your income? Scientifically speaking, in terms of measurable, quantifiable results, income plays a very minor role. In other words, you just have to get above the poverty level and have a very modest income. But if other factors in your life, like health, stable family life, wholesome community life, if other factors are there, especially spiritual awareness, those factors play a much bigger role in your well-being. Economists are now working on more than just dollars and cents. They're working on happiness, how to design an economy in which you can measure people's happiness. So they concluded that the overall national well-being would be much better off if people spent more time with their family and friends, more time working for their communities, more time maintaining their physical and mental health, more time enjoying nature, and of course, more time on their spiritual development. How in today's working world are you going to be able to do that if you have just material goals? With material goals, the mind will become a prisoner of just a workaholic lifestyle. You'll have nothing to protect you from being swept away by that tsunami of work, buy, consume, and die. Look around you. You see, as I said, families are destroyed. Communities, no one even knows who their neighbor is anymore. No time to exercise. No time to maintain your health. Life becomes just you and the TV. We need to make some changes. We need another way of growing. Without sacrificing our basic material well-being, we need another way of growing. The best spiritual wealth you'll find in Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Understand your spiritual identity, understand your non-material identity, and then push ahead for non-material happiness. We require lessons how to do that. People are studying so much how to make money in order, they hope, to get material happiness. With just a little bit of study, taking Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita so seriously, your life can truly be successful. You can make the mind your best friend. When the mind starts to act for spiritual development, it accomplishes wonders. You see, let me explain. What's troubling us is that our mind is not reaching its true potential. It cannot reach its true potential in the material paradigm, in the material lifestyle. The mind is cramped. It's made ineffective. And this is what troubles you. You can't truly be yourself in a material lifestyle because you're not material. Therefore, I invite you to consider Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, known in Sanskrit as Sanatana Dharma, the eternal nature, the eternal essential nature. This is the kind of education that's most important. It's compatible with your study life. It's compatible with your work life. Lord Krishna's instructions are for the complete person. Your material aspects, your mental aspects, and most importantly, your spiritual aspects. All of those aspects emanate from Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the authority on how to deal with your body, your mind, your intelligence, your false ego, and how to deal with your spiritual self, the real you. So I ask all of you to please deeply consider another angle. Don't feel that you've missed the boat. You came too late to study. You missed the boat on rampant materialism. No, you have the biggest future because you can combine your material basic well-being with extraordinary, exorbitant spiritual growth. So you have the best of times. You have come at the right time, the best time, and you can do the greatest good for yourself and the whole world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Questions? All right, we have a little time for some questions if you have any. Yes, yes. Can we hear his question, please?
For what purpose we are here on the earth?
That's a very good point. For what purpose are we here on the earth? Did you know that there is only one species, environmentally speaking, there's only one species on earth that can be removed from the earth and there's no problem caused to the rest of nature? Guess what species that is? Human beings. You take any other species out of the ecosphere and it causes a chain reaction of problems. Even you take ants, even a few species of ants out and their reactions. You can take human beings out, no problem whatsoever. In fact, things in nature will get a lot better. Now, human beings, although there's 6 billion of them, they actually take up very little space in terms of biomass. Do you know that you can take all the human beings on Earth, all 6 billion of them, and pack them in, mathematically this is possible, but not practically. Mathematically, you can do this. You can take a cube 1.6 kilometers each way, a cube, 1.6 cubic kilometers, a box, and put all 6 billion human beings in that box and lower it in a remote part of the Grand Canyon. Out of sight, gone. That's how insignificant human beings are materially. The points I'm making should show you that human beings really don't have a material purpose. Their purpose is spiritual. You have this human body. You're here on this earth for spiritual development. But the great tragedy of society is that your mind is bombarded at every moment. Think of matter. Think of material happiness. When you turn on the television, you have the remote in your hand. You're just going from one illusion to another. You go to the movies, more illusion. You turn on the radio, more illusion. You absorb yourself in the internet. Overwhelming illusion. When I'm speaking at IIT in Mumbai, the students have confided in me the statistics. They say, because every student there, you know, gets a high-speed internet connection, of course. They say 80% of their internet usage is viewing pornography. 80%. So, how is your mind going to understand its spiritual purpose when it's under such pressure? Well, this is a very good question you've asked. The real purpose of your presence on earth is spiritual development. Becoming Krishna conscious. Understanding your spiritual identity and the nature of the supreme spiritual reality that you're part of. That is Krishna consciousness. Yes? Please give him the microphone.
Good evening. Yeah, I just read a book by Sri Prabhupada Swami. It was The Science of Self-Realization. In that, it was given that the human form which you've taken is actually for self-realization. That is the actual goal. But in that, there's one more thing which was specified, that once we do not realize this, we are sent to the degraded, the lower species. But what happens further? How does, when we are sent to lower species, we don't have that consciousness. How do we get back? How does, you know, how to come back to this original state?
He's talking about the science of the transmigration of the soul through different types of bodies. The human body, the Vedic knowledge explains, is very rarely achieved. The laws of nature are moving you along. So you come up through the lower species, you attain the human form. If you misuse your human form to get the same thing the animals get, why do you need a human body in your next life then? So the laws of nature will send you down. And then you have to gradually rotate your way back up again. It is a great loss. Nature is very precise. It gives you exactly what you deserve. If you have a human body, but you want to eat anything and everything, better you have another kind of body. You can be a tiger, you can eat so much kind of flesh. If you are a human being, but you want to sleep all the time, better become a bear. You can sleep all winter. If you are bewildered by the Western dream of constant lust, the human body is not for you then. You can be a pigeon in a tree and with a repetition rate of 30 times a day. So nature has just the right body for you for these material purposes, but not the human body. The human body is meant for advanced consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So, just like there are laws of nature governing matter, similarly, there are laws of nature governing consciousness and the reactions to consciousness. These laws, current scientists are not familiar with because they don't even know what is consciousness, what to speak of the laws governing consciousness.
I have one more question.
All right.
Yeah, but it was said that when the lower species,
the lower species, when they're degraded, they don't have that consciousness, if I'm correct.
No, they don't have the higher consciousness, but all creatures are conscious.
All creatures.
You can see that a cat or a dog has consciousness.
Okay.
But not as fully developed as you have.
Yeah.
You don't see any cats and dogs listening here. You're listening here. Alright? Others? Let's say hello. The Supreme is already perfect and complete. We need to evolve in our understanding of the Supreme. The Supreme is by definition perfect, complete. In Sanskrit, Om Purnam. There's no lack, there's no deficiency. But we, in our material existence, are lacking in terms of our consciousness of the Supreme. So therefore, Krishna consciousness. Krishna means the all-attractive source of pleasure. Everyone here is pleasure-driven. What is the source of pleasure? That is the most important question for you. Then the mind will stop concocting its material goals, and then the mind will be peaceful. So, we have forgotten our spiritual identity. We need to wake up. The process of Krishna consciousness is for waking us out of illusion. So we don't have to think of Krishna's evolving. We have to think of our waking up. You don't need to go life after life absorbed in material illusion. It's not necessary. Sometimes people say, oh, but it's all about learning, life's a learning process. Then you ask them, okay, if life's the learning process, what's the lesson you're supposed to learn? Oh, I don't know, but it's just about learning. They also say, experience is the best teacher. Teacher of what? What are you supposed to learn? As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, hearing is the best teacher. Hear from the topmost authority. Knowing can be a more topmost authority than Krishna because Krishna is the source of all energies. Understanding that is the perfection of the yoga system. We speak of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means connecting to the Supreme, connecting to Krishna, with pure love and devotion. That is the most powerful energetic experience. Thank you. Very nice question.
I don't want to take any kind
of... Wait. We have to give some others a chance. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
I want to ask one of my some mind like problem that I have. I'm a strong Krishna believer. Is this like how we judge eating meat, like as we do here? Most of the Australians, they have meat in the diet. Is it
how and they are sending a lot of it over to India?
Yeah. So, like, I have also seen many of the students or people here, they have started switching non-vegetarians and eating meat over here. I haven't eaten meat in my life ever. But sometimes in some unfavorable conditions where there is no food available, sometimes you are at work or sometimes where they provide you dinner or lunch, where you don't find any vegetables. So how you judge these conditions, like if you eat some meat at some time, is it good or is it bad? Is that something I ask a funny question?
First of all, you mentioned that you are a Krishna believer, but we want you to be a Krishna experiencer. We want you to enter the Krishna laboratory and get scientific Krishna perception. Believe, you may believe, you may not believe, but there is a reality. The Krishna reality exists whether you believe or not. We want you to experience. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna use the words, just believe in me. You don't find this anywhere. Everywhere in Bhagavad Gita you find Lord Krishna saying, I'm going to teach you the methodology, I'm going to teach you the process by which you can experience everything I'm saying. That is why we say, enter the bhakti laboratory, enter the Krishna conscious laboratory. Now, there are certain activities you can do which will negate higher consciousness, and meat eating is one of them. Everyone knows now it's very bad for the environment. Indeed, the co-chair of the Nobel Prize, Al Gore, he got one part of the Nobel Prize, and the other part was shared by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And the secretary, you may know, he's from India. So, a few months ago, this Nobel Prize winning Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change put out a statement. They said, we are afraid to tell you something, but we have to tell you the truth. A major way that environmental problems can be solved is if people would stop eating meat. We're afraid to say this. All the time you hear about reducing, you know, carbon emissions caused by transportation. If you want to fly on Qantas now, you go online, you can tick a box if you want to pay a dollar or two for your carbon emissions that you're causing by flying. But where is the information being circulated loudly throughout society that all you have to do, all society has to do, is cut out the meat and the environment will benefit enormously? Then we look at the ethical point of view. Why is it that you need to kill another man in order to live? It's not necessary. A meat-based diet is not necessary for human health. In fact, it causes so many problems. The main reason why Krishna conscious persons do not eat meat is because you cannot offer meat to Lord Krishna. And a bhakti yogi, a yogi in transcendental love and devotion, only eats food that has been spiritualized by being offered to Krishna, and Krishna doesn't accept meat offerings. That's the main reason. But that main spiritual reason has so many material ramifications. So look at it this way, look at it that way, look at it materially, look at it spiritually. Get rid of the meat, your life will be better. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. According to my knowledge, what I have knowledge regarding spiritual world is, if I follow spiritual world, I'll be, after my death, I'll be joining Krishna, the Supreme Consciousness. But how do I know, like, my father expired, okay, he was a very spiritual person, but I don't know where he is now. So how can you guarantee that after I die, I follow Krishna, okay, full life I follow Krishna, but after I die, what is the guarantee that I've reached Krishna?
Have you ever driven to Sydney before?
No, never.
Alright, but if you were going to start to drive to Sydney, how do you know that you're going to get there?
Because already people who have reached there, it's like if I'm taking a flight from here, the pilot who is driving me, he knows he's going to Sydney. So he's driving me. But now, see.
But now, what about if you're driving a car? How do you know you're going to get to Sydney?
No, it's the map or something, like I'll take that map and.
You'll have a map, you have a GPS system.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving you the GPS system, how to make sure you get to him.
Agreed. But is there somebody who has gone that side and ridden back to...
Yes.
See, unless and until somebody from Sydney came back to Melbourne,
yes.
Nobody knew Sydney.
So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining, I'm there, here's what it's like, come on.
Okay.
And what do you say? Oh, but I'm too busy, not now, when I'm old. First I must make money and enjoy, and later I'll go.
Now what we are following is, I just saw the movie Da Vinci Code yesterday, and it was full of controversies for Christ. Agree? But same way, the epic, I should say, I'm using this word epic of Krishna. I'm a Hindu by birth, but I'm saying this word epic as a Krishna because it was written by somebody, you know, in the 1800s, maybe, right?
Much before
about the Bhagavad Gita, I'm saying.
Bhagavad Gita is eternal.
Right.
Sanatana Dharma means the eternal Dharma.
But
consciousness is eternal. Listen, yeah. Your consciousness is eternal, Krishna's consciousness is eternal. The difference is your consciousness is limited and Krishna's consciousness is unlimited. So, whether you call yourself a Hindu or a Vishnu, the point is, what is genuine spiritual knowledge? Whether you are born with this kind of label on your clothes or that kind of label on your clothes, we want to understand what is the precise laboratory knowledge of the spiritual world. That is the point. Please think about that.
So, I agree that spiritual knowledge will take me to that side, okay? But I'm saying that somebody who is from that side, I should be able to, you know, at least physically or mentally, you know, materialistically see him, so that I can say, I can have some questions with this, saying that what actually the other world is.
Yes, but first you have to be able to recognize such a person. That means you need knowledge first. So let Lord Krishna give you the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita so you can recognize such a person. Krishna explains the symptoms of such a person. You have to be educated first. Just like you are all studying accounting, IT, you recognize the symptoms of someone who has that kind of knowledge. The topmost knowledge is Bhagavad Gita. Krishna will explain to you, here are the symptoms of someone who is connected to me. First, education, then perception. Okay? Thank you.
One more question, please. I don't want to take any birth after this life. I don't want like my existence in any form. So how can I get out from the circle of life and death? Like,
why are they laughing? Why are they laughing? This is a career goal that he's presenting. He says he doesn't want to take birth again. He wants to go to the pure spiritual world. That is a career. Now the question is, are you willing to work for success in that career?
I want to look after my family as well as I want to go on the path of spirituality. I want to fulfill my all the things in my life.
There's a way that you can live perfectly with your family and at the same time develop spiritually.
I don't want to sacrifice any of these because my family is also my responsibility and that is also my personal responsibility.
The number one responsibility that you will have for your family is to make sure their spiritual well-being is taken care of. That's the number one responsibility. They are not the body, they are spirit soul. So if you neglect their spiritual well-being, then where's the family welfare? Just like, okay, I have this jumper on. I am not this jumper, but I'll still take care of the jumper. Similarly, you are not the body. Still, you should take care of the body. Your family, they are not their bodies, but you should take care of their bodies. But the main goal you should function on, not simply for your society, not simply for your family, but for all the society, is the spiritual well-being. That is the point. So if you don't want to take birth again, that's the perfection of yoga. To not take birth again, but to go to Krishna. That takes education. It takes training. It takes determination. A focused mind. You ready for that? Very good. Hare Krishna. Very lively questions. I can see that the students here are special. Better than RMIT. No.
I read Bhagavad Gita, and there was a verse which meant we all are like flowers, and there is a thread that passes through us, and ultimately that unifies us into a garland. But what is the way by which, is there any way by which we can unify us with this thread?
There are many mistranslations of Bhagavad Gita. Our quest should be to find a real Bhagavad Gita. That is why we present to you all Bhagavad Gita as it is. The founder of the Worldwide Krishna Conscious Network has provided Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as I imagine it to be. The verse that you're quoting has been distorted in the version that you have read. Krishna says, "Mata pratram nanya kinchit asti dhananjaya." There's nothing beyond me. There's no true superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So it's not that we all are the thread that the pearls are strung on. Krishna is referring to himself, the Supreme Consciousness. We are not the Supreme Consciousness. Qualitatively, we are equal to Krishna, but quantitatively, there's an infinite difference in that Krishna is unlimited and we are tiny and limited. So that was a mistranslation that you read. Therefore, I quoted the Sanskrit to you.
But is any way by which we can unify ourselves?
Is there any way that
unification with Krishna is possible?
Yeah, that's the whole point of Bhagavad Gita, to connect with Krishna in love. But you can't become Krishna. Just like you can attend the Trove University, but you cannot become the university. You're a part of the university. So Bhakti Yoga gives you the scientific methodology how to connect harmoniously with Krishna in pure love. Very nice questions. It looks like we have one last question here.
It's been said that the skin color of Krishna was blue. Does that denote something? Does it have any significance?
Yes. When you look at the sky, the reason why the sky is blue is because it's reflecting Krishna's color. Now, what can you say? Oh, I don't believe that. But how do you know? You cannot say yes or no. If you want to verify what I'm saying, you have to enter the Bhakti laboratory. Otherwise, you can just arbitrarily say, oh, I don't believe that. Why not? You have to have some reason for denying. And if Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is offering you a process to verify what he's saying, isn't that fair? Once again, please note, nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna ask that you believe in him. Everywhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna offers you the process, the laboratory process for verifying the information he's giving. What can be more fair than that? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.